You are listening to audio from Victory Church. To check out more resources or to support the work of the ministry, visit victorybelleton.org. Well, good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here today to talk to you on the topic of prayer. I am certainly not an expert in any way when it comes to prayer, but prayer has been something that has profoundly and deeply impacted me over the course of time as I've committed to prayer, and just the way that it's shaped me has really transformed the way my life is lived, really. And I'm going to walk us through some really familiar scripture today. And I hope that it still challenges us, even though it's familiar. One thing that I hope to do this morning is make it simple. Make it simple. Because prayer is just that. It is simple. So let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us this morning. Oh, Lord, you are the Most High God, and you are so worthy of our praise. You are worthy of all glory and honor, and we recognize that you alone are the one that we pray to. You are the one who hears our prayers, collects our tears. You are the one that pours out on your children. And Lord, forgive us when we forget who you are. We neglect your majesty. Lord, use this time by your Holy Spirit to minister our hearts, minister through your word, and challenge us and grow us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title for the message is Jesus on Prayer. And prayer is such a large topic. I feel like when Pastor Matt asked, you know, would you be willing to speak on prayer? I was like, oh, that's like a six-week series. That could go on and on and on. And it's interesting how the Lord worked throughout the last couple of weeks on my heart to share with you guys, because what I was thinking about when he asked is really not what I'm going to share today. I'm going to focus on what we can learn from Jesus on prayer, not what Mindy has learned on prayer. And last week, Pastor Casey shared in the beginning of Matthew with us on Jesus on our private lives, right? And if you were here, you heard her challenge us, focusing specifically on our hearts. What's the motivation of our hearts? Ooh, that was tough. I've still been chewing on that. Thank you, Casey, for that. And if you have not listened to that, if you weren't able to be here last week, I have a tip for you. You can go to the Abundant Life podcast. If you have a podcast app on your phone, you can look it up. Go to Abundant Life Church Belleton. No, I'm sorry. Victory Belleton. Victory Church Belleton. I should have gotten that right. Sorry. I just have it saved on my phone, so it's really easy. But you can listen to the sermons as along with the studies in the morning. If you miss Bible study, maybe you have little ones, and it's hard for you to get here in the morning, you can listen to those while you're driving back and forth to your work or school or those kind of things. So please take the time and listen to what Casey had to share last week so you can kind of connect the dots as we walk through Matthew here. So today we move on in Matthew 6. Right? And we're going to read Matthew 6, 5 through 6. This is also found in Luke 11, 2 through 4. And I'm going to just read it. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Some of you are elbowing your spouse right now, saying, "See, this is why I don't like to pray when you ask me to pray in front of other people." Right? Well, I've got news for you. This isn't discussing or it's not saying that we can't pray in public. It prohibits praying for the purpose of public recognition. Do not be like the hypocrites, making a show of their prayers, is what this is saying. Take time to get alone with God so that your heart, your focus shifts off of you and to Him. That's what this scripture is saying. It goes on to say in verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Well, this is where if my kids were sitting next to me, they would be elbowing me. Right, kids? They think when mom prays, she goes on and on and on. Well, I hope it's not for the purpose of pestering the gods. Because what the pagans did is they would use repetition over and over again to pester the gods, to stir them up. And they would grant, in order to grant someone's request, they would do this. Well, the focus in this scripture, in verse 5, it's talking about the hypocrites, but then it's moving to the Gentiles because of this practice that they did. He's telling us here, don't pray like you're stirring up gods, like the pagans, in some kind of recipe to follow. And don't look for public recognition like the hypocrites. Do not be like them. That's what the word tells us. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Wow. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Can we just pause right there for a minute? Anyone that's ever prepared to teach a Bible study or a life group or anything, there's this moment when you're in preparation, and you feel like the Holy Spirit just says, "That's it, Mindy. That's it right there. Your Father knows exactly what you need before you even ask it." Gulp. Makes me emotional. Have you guys ever thought about that? How He knows you. He knows your ins and outs. It's pretty incredible. Well, I have asked some friends to join me up, and Mike and Ellie, if you can make your way up. I'm going to have you guys stand here. Well, these are my friends, Mike and Ellie, and Mike is Ellie's dad, and there is just something so special about their love for one another. It makes me weep. Ellie's beautiful eyes just stare at her daddy like he hung the moon. And Mike's smile, that's a mile long. If you guys know them, you'll know this is so true. We're not making this up, and this is why they were the perfect example for me today. Mike prayed for Ellie's existence before she was even born. And I know this because Mike and his wife Amy are in our life group, and we prayed alongside of them. It's so fun to see their relationship firsthand. And just the uniqueness and the special love that they have for one another. They have a unique bond. And I love watching Ellie lock eyes with her dad at Life Group. And she just lights up. And she always has her arms wrapped around him, knowing that he is secure. He is there for her. And as powerful as this relationship is, how much more powerful would our relationship with God be? Church, we serve a God that is our Abba Father. Our Father in heaven that knows your ins, your outs, your inner being far more than any earthly father can. Mike is an incredible father to Ellie, but the reality is he only knows in part. We only know in part here on earth. He doesn't know the deepest parts of Ellie's soul in the same way that her heavenly father does. And the same goes for you and I. Our Father in heaven knows you. He knows you deeply. He is our Abba, our Daddy, and many in this room, you didn't have a Mike-like dad figure. And I understand that. That's hard. But the truth is, we all have a Father in heaven, a Father that never leaves, never forsakes, never fails us. He's always there. His love for us, it never runs out. Mike and Ellie, you can sit down. Thank you. Can you guys give them a round of applause? I wanted to use them as an example because I think it's so important when we approach prayer to know who we're praying to and what he thinks of us. It's so important. There's probably many of you here that believe in the power of prayer, yet you're not actively praying. Well, Brian, you can attest that I was in your camp. For me, God was this far off, huge, amazing creator. And I believed the lie that I just couldn't say anything to him. I thought I had to be cleaned up. I thought I had to be perfect in order to say anything in prayer. I was so intimidated. I didn't want to say something wrong, and I felt so foolish. So let me encourage you. If you feel like the person I described today, these are lies. He is waiting for you to trust him and step out by faith and just talk to him. That's all he desires, is for you to talk to him. Remember, he knows exactly what you need before you even ask him. Isn't that just incredible? Well, most of us grew up reciting the Lord's Prayer. And no matter what denomination of Christian faith that you grew up in, the Lord's Prayer was memorized in most of them, right? Well, I know this is a little different than most victory sermons or styles, but I'm going to ask you all, if you are able, would you stand with me? And would you join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer as written in Matthew 6, 9 through 13? It should be on the screen behind me, if you can see it. Let's pray together. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you. You can be seated. Let's take a minute and dissect this text that's so familiar to each one of us. So he starts it out by saying, this then is how you should pray. Don't you just love when Jesus speaks in black and white? I love it. Sometimes we get metaphors. Sometimes we get, you know, different ways that he speaks through the parables. And it's a little bit like, what is he saying? But here he says, it's simple. This then is how you pray. And I love that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Who are we praying to? We are praying to the God of the universe, the one who was and is to come, the Most High God. He is our protector, our healer. He is a peacemaker, mercy giver. I could go on and on and on, couldn't I? What is your heart posture and how are you approaching God? Jesus tells us here to declare his name when we pray. It goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Jesus prayed in that same way when he faced death. Not my will, but your will be done. Are we praying for our own will to be done? Or are we praying for his will to be done in our lives? On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread is only what we need, isn't it? I'm always convicted when I read about the manna provided to the Israelites. God told them to only take what they needed. Does anyone else read that and think, would I have been one of the ones stuffing my pockets with extra that then was moldy the next day? I think I might have been. We have such a scarcity mindset in our lives, don't we? Where it's like, oh, just fill up. Have you ever been to a buffet line? I mean, most of the time you get halfway through and you're out of space, right? Because you think you might need more. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You guys, unforgiveness is a roadblock in our spiritual lives. It holds us back from what God has for us. He forgave us, so we forgive others. And that's something to be grateful for. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Don't let me get... No, you're fine. Yeah, that happens. I've watched other pads do it. But deliver us from the evil one. Don't let me get so close to sin, right? Don't let me get just on the fringe so I get snared up in it. That is our prayer. Well, if you grew up Methodist like me or in the Protestant church like many of us did, you were wondering where the rest of the Lord's Prayer was when we were reading Matthew. You wanted to finish it, didn't you? It was just like, I want to keep going. Well, the King James Version is the only version that has that ending to the Lord's Prayer, which is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, my church said, forever and ever. Amen. It is most likely taken from David's speech in 1 Chronicles 29:11. Which I had never studied this before, preparing this, and I thought it was interesting. It says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Isn't that awesome? I need to add that to a list that I'm continually praying. The first three requests deal with God's glory in the Lord's Prayer. Your name, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Reveal it to us, Lord. And your will be done. Not my will, but your will. And the last three requests have to do with us. Give us just what we need, only what we need. You know, that's a scary prayer when you really think about it. Give us only what we need. Forgive us our sins and those who have sinned against us, and lead us away from temptation. Lead us, Lord, so that we do not get tempted and snatched up. So let's recap here. How does Jesus teach us to pray? Or if you can do the next slide. So first we recognize who God is. That's what he tells us through this prayer. Recognize who he is. Then we ask for his authority in our lives. His authority. His control. Anyone else here deal with self-control issues? Thanks, Jackson. Make your requests known to him. Share your heart with him. Remember, he already knows what you're going to ask. Ask for forgiveness. We sin daily. We mess up. We make mistakes. He knows it. Just ask for his forgiveness and forgiveness of others. Ask for provision in our lives. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from the fiery darts against us. Give us provision, Lord. So the next text we're going to move to is just a chapter later, in chapter 7. So if you guys are following along, we're going to be in Matthew 7, 7 through 12. It's also in Luke 11, 9 through 13. Matthew 7, 7 through 12. And it should be on the screen. And it reads, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus commands us to ask, seek, and knock. These three words were written in a Greek verb tense that we actually don't have the equivalent to grammatically in the English language. And it implies not a single action, but an ongoing action. One that takes place in the present and into the future. And this really ministered to me as I thought about, you know, sometimes we pray for things and we bring them before the Lord and we bring them before the Lord and we bring them before the Lord, and you kind of get weary, right, in that same thing, and you kind of move on, like, okay, well, that didn't happen, so I'm going to move on to this next thing. And he's saying, be persistent. Keep on asking. Now, we all know that the Lord answers our prayers sometimes in ways that we weren't really looking for. It wasn't really what we were thinking, but be persistent. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. When God's people pursue something by asking, seeking, and knocking, he responds with faithfulness and generosity. This verse emphasizes the need for an authentic relationship with God. Your persistence in prayer will grow that relationship. If you commit to prayer, your relationship with him grows so much tighter. Just as we were able to see with Mike and his daughter, Ellie, that relationship develops over time in a life in prayer. The rest of the text says, starting in verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. Jesus set up the comparison here between our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father. He compares sinful humanity with a holy God. Human parents know how to give their children good gifts, don't they? Do I give good gifts? But our Heavenly Father can do abundantly more for our children. Mike wants to give Ellie everything good that he possibly can. Everything in his power. But the reality is our Father in heaven can give Ellie exactly what she needs. She can receive exceedingly abundantly more than she even asks of her Father. And that's the same for us. Mike's capacity to love his daughter is only so large. Our human brains can never comprehend the capacity of love that the Father has for us. It is so wide and so deep. And it never runs out. Verse 12 says, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. This command is often called the golden rule, right? We learned that in school, the golden rule. Jesus later says that the law of the prophets can be summarized with two commandments. Love God completely and love your neighbor as yourself. You guys probably have that memorized. Love God completely and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, God will never love us more or any less than he already does. Our ability to experience and feel his love does change. It can change. And if we want more of God's love, if you are sitting there wanting more of God's love, I encourage you to start praying Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. This is a great place to start if prayer is not in your normal life. Pray scripture. The beauty of praying scripture is that because we are praying his expressed will, we know that his answer is yes. Isn't that cool? We know he wants us to feel his love because he told us that he does. I am going to pray Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. On the screen so you can follow if you'd like. Actually, why don't you guys just close your eyes as I pray this over you? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Worship team, you can come up as I begin to close. Aura, do you want to put the next slide up for me? So I'm not sure if you guys can see this very well because it's pictures of Pam Johnson's scrapbook. Can everybody give a clap offering for Pam? Because I texted her and asked her if she had a photo of this. I kept thinking about this as I was preparing, and I'm like, I got to find this photo. And I knew that they were out there, and I knew Pam Johnson was the one that would have it. And anyone here that is desiring to be a historian, please learn from Pam because she is exceptional. I'm serious about this. Like, who is going to document the future if we don't have Pam to document it? So start training. Is Brita the person? I just wondered if, no. No, in all seriousness, it's just so astounding to be able to ask for things from the past and have someone that knows the dates, the times, and all the details. It's just wonderful. So the physical church that we call Victory broke ground on April 3rd of 2005. Do you remember that, Dave, Mike? April 3rd of 2005, so 19 years ago. Wow. That's the church that we're all gathered in here today, right? The photos are a small representation of the people that were there to take part in that. Many of the people in these photos, I wish emotions wouldn't do this. They're not here anymore on earth. Mike Johnson's mom, Luella, someone that I looked up to for years and I continue to think of and remember her voice. She was a prayer warrior, as someone said in the background. She was the one that got to hold the shovel and dig the first dirt to dig up the ground here for this building. My father-in-law, John Nakamas, who helped me personally fumble through years of not knowing how to pray. He was a part of the group that prayed for this building. For each one of you. My mom, Jan Lyson, is in that picture. She prayed for me before I was formed in another woman's womb. She prayed for this building to be here, and a lot of you that are sitting in these seats. My dear friend, Glenn Larson, he's not in one of these photos. But he was another person who not only sowed seeds in my life in regards to prayer, but he sowed seeds for this church to be here. We're here today because of the prayers of these people. And on April 3rd, they built this church, this physical church. But what if today, March 10th of 2024, we take shovels to our spiritual lives and begin to break some ground? There were a lot of nods when I said there are many of you in this room that believe in the power of prayer, but you're not actually actively doing it. And I think today is a day in history for the church. I think today is the day that the Lord wants to break up the ground of religion, break up dry, parched land that needs to be watered by the wellspring of life. And what if we make commitments to Him, coming to Him daily for our portion, our daily bread? What if we make those commitments today? And instead of ground being broken where we're standing, where this physical building is, our hearts are being softened and loosened and more available for Him to reach the depths of who we are. What is done in the secret places, in our prayer times with the Lord in our lives, will cultivate in us a love for Him that is steadfast and is pure. He will reveal things to you that you need to get rid of that you didn't even know were there. He will give us confidence to be obedient and carry out His will for us. Sometimes it's hard to say yes to the things you know you need to say yes to. But when you are with Him in prayer daily, He gives you that confidence to do it. He will make ways for us when there seems to be absolutely no way. Right, Alan? You got to experience that this week. When you're wondering where that rock will be to step on the next morning because you don't see it when you lay your head down at night, He will provide it. Go to Him and ask, seek, and knock. And the door will be opened for you. We're going to worship here and let the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts. Our Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. There are some needs in this room, and as I was speaking, there were commitments made in your hearts. We have a prayer team again on either side of the room. If you need prayer, please come forward and let someone join you in prayer as you make these commitments together. There's just something so powerful about it. Thank you.
Please stand with us. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. So shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. So shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. So shake up the ground of all my tradition.
Do whatever you want to.
So I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Come do whatever you want to. Yes, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Come do whatever you want.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mindy. I don't know about you guys, but I did some groundbreaking in the dirt in my life today and made some new commitments to prayer. I encourage you, before you leave, if you want to break some ground in prayer, just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you prompt my heart day by day to come before you in prayer? It's so easy to leave here after a message like that, and then we get right on with our day and get right back in our schedule. But I encourage you, make time for prayer with the Lord. It's not just going to happen to you, but you can create the time, create the space for it, and the Lord will meet you there. Amen. So Lord, we pray and ask that you would help us as we break ground in our own souls. Father, would you help us to be people of prayer? Lord, would our dependency not be on ourselves, but would it be wholly on you? Lord, would you remind us throughout this week and the week ahead to ask, to seek, to knock? Lord, we know that you are faithful in everything. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word that's been planted in our heart. Father, would it produce good fruit and good soil? Lord, we say all of this in your name. Lord, we ask you to be glorified, magnified, and exalted in our lives. As we go, Lord, would you bless us? Would you keep us and cause your face to shine upon us? And all of God's people say together, amen. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us today.